right. Good morning. I appreciate the excitement that there always is to be around greeting each other. And I kind of, it's always encouraging to me as I get started just to kind of let you all do that and see each of you interact with each other. It's good to be amongst family. We have been working together for several months now. I think, if I remember correctly, we started first week in October looking at the Holy Spirit. And as I've told you on many occasions, we're in the final leg of this as we look at the idea of keeping in step with the Spirit of God as is laid out for us in Galatians chapter 5, specifically in verses 22 and 23, where Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit. And so we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit together now for several weeks, and we have so far made it through love. We've talked about joy, we've talked about peace, we've talked about patience, and that brings us to where we are today. Galatians 5, 16, and then 22 through 25, Paul writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience," which we've talked about all those, "and now we come to kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And then in, at the end, Paul writes, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." So we've been talking about keeping in step with the Spirit. With that verse in mind, let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you so very much for this time that we have shared together over the past few months, looking at your Spirit and the power that the fellowship of your Spirit brings to our lives. We thank you for that gift that you have offered each one of us, and we pray that we will each accept that gift and live empowered by your Spirit. Father, we thank you for the avenue that your Spirit gives to us to come to you confidently in prayer. Father, we thank you that your Spirit gives words to our inner groanings so that you can know the deepest parts of us, know what we need, know what we desire, and know what is best for us. So, Father, we thank you for your will. We pray that we will always be accepting of your will and find comfort in knowing that you are that your will is better than ours. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you that in your infinite wisdom you decided to send your Son to be amongst us, to live a perfect life, to go to the cross, and be raised 3 days later, to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. We thank you that when your Son left this earth, he sent your Spirit to come in his place, to embody each one of us, so that we could forever walk on this earth in step with you. Father, help us to be in step. We love you so much, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, like I said, we have been talking about these various characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, and we've noticed how it says fruit and not fruits, and that this is one fruit with multiple characteristics, and that they complete each other, and that without one or the other, at times, we will find that fruit to be incomplete in our lives. They not only complete each other, but they also at times overlap with each other. And we've seen that, especially as we talked about joy and peace and the way those go together. Well, now we come to this idea of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And it really should be no surprise to us that as we look at passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter of the Bible, and we get down to verse 4, Paul writes that love is patient, that we talked about last week, and then he says love is kind. There's an overlap of these ideas, and Paul tells us that love is patient, and love is kind, and we look in 1 John, and John writes and says that God is love. And so John defines God as love, Paul defines love as patient and kind. We see that in God's very nature, God is patient and God is kind. And so what we see is that as we live in step with the Spirit of God, as we have the Spirit of God indwelling each one of us, then his nature of kindness will indwell each one of us. His loving nature of kindness will indwell each one of us. And as people look at us, and they see us walking in step with the Spirit of God, they will notice the love of God and notice the kindness that love brings forth. Somebody has said kindness is love made visible. And that is kind of this very idea that God is made visible through his people, that he indwells by his Spirit in the kindness that they bring to this world. I love some of these quotes. I was looking at various quotes on kindness, and there's just so many good ones out there. We've got this one, kindness is love made visible. We've got another one that says, kindness can be the greatest gift that you can give a person, especially when they are not expecting it. Or this one that says, kindness is choosing to acknowledge and celebrate the beauty in others, regardless of whether or not they can find it in themselves. I've always kind of loved all these great quotes that people have had, and I love to kind of keep track of some of my favorite quotes. And I was looking at quotes on kindness. I kept noticing this thing. You'll notice this one is attributed to simply Racktivist. The one before it, Racktivist. This one was by a certain person, Swain Pole, or however you say that, and it says Racktivist. And I kept wondering, what is Racktivist? What does that mean? How many in here by chance just happen to know what Racktivist means? I didn't either. So I just had to Google search it. I just Googled Racktivist, and here's what I found. A Racktivist is a person who considers themselves an activist that specializes in random acts of kindness. And so the RAK is random acts of kindness. This is a random acts of kindness activist. These are actual people in this world who find their calling in life to go throughout the world and to live out random acts of kindness in the lives of others. And I got thinking about that, and I thought, how great is that? That people find it their calling to go into the world and just simply be kind to people. Not because of anything that is pushing them to that, but just simply because they know that this world needs to see kindness. As I looked more into it, I found that there's actually a holiday that is celebrated as Random Acts of Kindness Day. It's actually coming up here in a couple of weeks. You should celebrate it. February 17th, every year, we celebrate Random Acts of Kindness Day. This was started in Denver, Colorado back in 1995, and it was kind of a local holiday then, and it's gained momentum, and now people everywhere celebrate Random Acts of Kindness Day. I got thinking about this, and I love this idea of bringing kindness into the world. But as I got thinking more and more about the idea of random acts of kindness, here's what I determined. Kindness is not random. Kindness is not random. You see, they kind of have this idea that there's nothing pushing them to be kind. There's nothing that they are doing that they're responding to anything. But as we look more at this idea of the Holy Spirit indwelling human beings, the Holy Spirit indwelling Christians, and the Holy Spirit being active in this world, we realize that kindness is part of the very nature of God. And if kindness is part of the very nature of God, and we look at Galatians 5 and verses 22 through 25, it tells us that when we see kindness, it's not random. Rather, what we are experiencing is the evidence of the nature of God being lived out in his people and being lived out in this world. Kindness is not random. In fact, kindness is a characteristic of God. Now, I want to talk about that a little bit, as kindness as a characteristic of God. When we think of being kind, let's go back a slide here. When we think of being kind, what do we think about? We think about being nice, don't we? We think about being good to people. But when we think of the kindness of God, when we think about the kindness that God brings to this world very specifically, what do we think of? You see, in our world, we think of kindness just as simply being nice, but when we think of the nature of God, kindness takes on a much fuller, a much deeper meaning. When we think of God's kindness, we need to think of this idea of God's mercy. what do we mean when we talk about mercy? You see, oftentimes we will use these words kind of interchangeably when we think about mercy and we think about grace, and we talk about them synonymously as if they are one and the same. We talk about God's forgiveness and God's mercy and God's grace. And I want to look very specifically at this idea of mercy and this idea of grace. You see, we need to kind of understand that there is a difference between grace and mercy. When we think of grace, here's what we mean. It's when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, what do we deserve as sinful human beings? We deserve punishment. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve eternal hell, don't we? But God's grace says, no, you deserve that, but I'm not going to give you what you do deserve. God's grace that was offered to us through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection and we accept in our baptism, God's grace is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. But mercy takes it a step further. You see, mercy is when God does give us what we don't deserve. God's mercy is when he says, not only am I not going to give you what you don't deserve, but I'm actually going to actively give you something better. I'm actively going to get into your life and make it better. And so God's mercy says, you deserve punishment, but instead I'm going to give you hope. You deserve wrath, but instead I'm going to offer you love. You see, God's mercy is when God gives us what we don't deserve. And when we talk about the idea of God's kindness, what we are really truly talking about is God's mercy. You see, in the Hebrew Old Testament, it was this word hesed or chesed. It's this beautiful Hebrew word. We find it 248 times in the Old Testament. And in the Old King James Version, it was translated three different ways, most notably. It would oftentimes be translated mercy. Next, it would be translated kindness. Or we have this really great word where it would translate it loving kindness. In the newer versions, the NIV, the English Standard Version, stuff like that, oftentimes it's just this all-encompassing word that is translated love. When we talk of God's kindness, when we talk of the nature of God and the nature of God's kindness, we are talking about this idea of God's mercy, of God's love, of God's, I love that word, loving kindness. You see, kindness is a characteristic of God. Kindness is God's love being made manifest. Kindness is love made visible. Now, where do we see this in the Bible? We see it maybe most notably in the Old Testament. The 23rd Psalm, David writes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What was David talking about in this Psalm? In this 23rd Psalm, David is comparing himself and comparing all other followers of God as shepherd or as sheep, and God as our shepherd. And he's talking about the way that the shepherd looks out for his sheep, and he refers to it as goodness and mercy. You see, what do the sheep do to deserve the love and the attention and the protection that shepherds offer them? Nothing. And yet shepherds love and care for them anyway. Shepherds show their kindness to them anyway. David says the same is true of God, our good shepherd, that he shows us goodness and mercy and it follows us all the days of our lives. And because of that, we receive the things that we don't deserve, such as dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. We see this this same word used oftentimes in the Psalms, and in Psalm 136, we have this great psalm. It's 26 verses long. I'm just giving you a little taste of it here in the first three verses. And it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love. It's that same word again. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. This was this psalm that they would sing in this kind of chanting form where the leader would say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And the whole congregation would respond with, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then the leader would say, give thanks to the God of gods. And the whole congregation would respond, for his steadfast love endures forever. And in this psalm, this repeats itself 26 times. It's a psalm about God's compassion, about God's redemption, about God's love for his creation, and how good he is towards his creation that is so undeserving of this. And yet the psalmist continues to write his steadfast love, his loving kindness, his mercy endures forever. Psalm 145 and verse 17 just says, you know, in all ways, no matter what, same word, once again, this time it's translated kind. In all ways, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. You remember back in the story of the Exodus, Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt. They finally escaped the imprisonment and the slavery that Pharaoh is bringing on them. And they're finally, you know, heading towards the promised land. They come to the river, and there's no way to get across. Finally, God, through Moses, allows them to cross this river as he parts the waters for them. He allows them to cross the sea. And when he gets through and all the Israelites get through, God allows for the waters to come back down on the Egyptians. And when Moses gets across with all the Israelite people and they see the protection of God, they see the way that God has cared for them, the way that God has shown kindness to them that they didn't deserve. Moses leads them in a song in Exodus 15, and he says, you have led in your steadfast love. It's that same word again. You have led in your mercy, in your kindness. The people whom you have redeemed, you have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Moses recognized that God didn't have to do this. They didn't deserve this. And yet, God chose to extend his mercy and his kindness anyway. As we come to the New Testament, Paul is talking to the people at Lystra, and they're dealing with all of these other gods. And Paul uses this Old Testament language, and he talks to them about how good the God of creation is, the God that they know nothing about, the God of the Bible that they know nothing about. And he realizes that God's kindness, God's mercy, is extended to all people, not just the chosen people of Israel, not just Christians, but rather God, in his infinite wisdom, chose to extend mercy, chose to give to people what they don't deserve. He says he has shown kindness, even to those who don't deserve it, even to you who know nothing about him. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. What Paul recognized was that even these people who knew nothing about God, who worshiped all sorts of other gods, were experiencing the kindness, the mercy of the one true God. But then as we get to Romans, we're studying Romans on Wednesday nights. Chuck is leading us in this discussion. It's a great discussion. And if you're not joining us, you really should, because it's this great discussion on the book of Romans. Chuck's doing a great job with it. And recently we've looked at this passage in Romans 2 and verse 4. And Paul is coming down hard on the Jewish people about how they're not responding to God in the way that they should. They're not responding to this mercy that God is extending to them. And so he says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? You see, what Paul is telling them is that God's kindness isn't given to you because of what you deserve, but rather God's kindness is extended to you in order to change you, in order to bring you to a different life. God's kindness is giving you what you don't deserve in order for God to get into your life and actively make it better. And maybe the most notable example of God's mercy, of God's kindness. Paul writes to Titus about in Titus chapter 3, and he says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, talking about Jesus his Son, he saved us. And listen to this. Not because of righteous things that we had done. Not because we did something to deserve it, but rather in spite of that. But because of his mercy. Not because of what I've done, but because of how great God is. That is the kindness of God. It's God's mercy. It's God actively working to make our lives better, even though we did nothing to deserve it. You see, here's what we need to understand about the kindness of God, the mercy of God. It's a very active word. It's a proactive word. It's not a reactive word. You see, we have a tendency, I think, at times to say, you know, I'll be kind to other people when they're kind to me. I'll be kind to you if you're kind to me. I'll be good to you if you're good to me. And we even talk about it at times when we have people that we don't like who have done something bad to us, and we realize we're going to get in a situation where we have to be around them, and we don't want to be around them. And we say things like, you know what, I'll be kind, but I'm not going to talk to them. I'm not going to deal with them. That's not kindness. That's not what God is talking about. Kindness is not reactive. Kindness is not something we are by simply not being anything at all. You see, when we are displaying God's kindness, we are proactively taking the first step to get into the lives of others, the same way that God proactively took the first step to get into our lives, to make our lives better. When we display that same type of kindness, we take the first step and get into other people's lives and make their lives better. Maybe Jesus said it best when he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He said, you take the first step, you do it first. That is God's kindness. That is God's mercy. Like I said, it's very proactive. It's God getting into our lives and making our lives better. And so when we think of the idea of walking in step with the Spirit, we are walking in step with the proactive kindness of God. And here's the question I think we need to look at and we need to consider. Is our ability to be kind based upon another's ability to deserve our kindness? Is my ability to be kind to you based upon your ability to deserve my kindness? You see, too often, if I'm just going to be honest about it, the way I live, it is. I'm only going to be kind to you if you're kind to me first, if you've shown that you deserve for me to be kind to you. Let me tell you this. That's not what Paul is writing about. That's not what Paul is talking about when he talks about the nature, the fruit of the Spirit that lives inside each one of us. When he's talking about God's kindness, he's not talking about the type of kindness that only responds to people who deserve it. He's talking about the type of kindness that says, I'm going to take the first step. And I'm going to get in there no matter what you've done to me. No matter how you've treated me, no matter what I think you deserve, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. I'm going to extend to you God's mercy, God's kindness. I want to look at a few more of these quotes that I found. One activist said, kindness is caring for others, even when they may not care for you. That's God's kindness. Someone else has said, kindness is igniting a light in someone else for no reason other than to watch them enjoy the glow. That's what God's kindness is. It's getting into other people's lives and making their lives glow, making their lives better. You see, God, in his mercy, got into our lives and put the light of the world in each one of us and tells us to go into the world and glow. And if we are walking in step with the Spirit, then we are getting into other people's lives and extending that same mercy that is the nature of God living in us, so that when they have come into contact with us and they've experienced kindness from us, they've experienced God's kindness and now are glowing with the same kindness that God extends. One person has said, too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. You see, here's what I love so much about the kindness of God, the mercy of God. It's not something little. Sometimes the act is something little, but the impact is something great. Another person, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, I wish I did, talked about the idea that an act of kindness is like throwing a rock in the water, but the impact is the endless ripples that it creates. You see, God has shown mercy to us so that we can walk in step with His Spirit and live out that same mercy so that we're not just good people. We're not just people that are trying to act nice to people. But rather, we are people who are changing the world and turning lives around for the glory of God, for the betterment of His kingdom, because we are living out the mercy of God. We're looking to do great things. We are living the embodiment of God's kingdom on this earth that we are looking forward to. We are living as people who are bound for that kingdom. And as we live as the calling of that kingdom, we're changing the world so that the whole world is moving towards that kingdom. And we do that by extending God's mercy and God's kindness. Mr. Rogers may have just said it best, where he said there are three ways to ultimate success. Three ways, you could say, to change the world. He said the first way is to be kind, the second way is to be kind, and the third way is to be kind. Kindness. Simple acts that show the nature of a complex and infinite God. They're little acts with tremendous ripples that change the world. But what it means for us is that we have to live in step with the nature of that very God who took the first step and He said, Stephen, I know you don't deserve this, but I'm going to proactively get into your life and I'm going to make your life better. And I'm going to do that. God took that step before I was even a thought. I was a thought in His mind, but nobody else's. And He said, I'm going to make Stephen's life better because I'm going to send my son so that when Stephen messes up and he deserves punishment and he deserves the wrath and he deserves hell, I'm going to put all of that on my son. And I'm going to give Stephen what he doesn't deserve. I'm going to actively make his life better by showing him my kindness, by showing him my mercy. I'm now a beneficiary of the mercy of God. And my calling in this world is to walk in step with the Spirit of that God who showed me mercy, and to keep in step with the Spirit of mercy and kindness. And as I extend to this world the things that this world doesn't deserve, and I get my own opinions out of the way, and I stop trying to judge the world and say, well, you deserve this, and you deserve this, and you deserve this, and I just say, listen, I have the Spirit of God living within me, and I'm going to extend His mercy to you. I'm going to change the world, because I'm going to show this world that there's something better than this world to live for. All because I choose to walk in step with the Spirit. And once again, I'll say, if I find myself struggling to be a kind person, if I find myself struggling to be someone who can extend mercy to someone, it's not because I'm not a kind person. Once again, I think we use those excuses far too often. We say, yeah, I'm not a patient person. I'm not a kind person. I'm not a joyful person. We say, it's just not our nature. And we try to act like, okay, because I'm not, it gives me an excuse not to be it. Well, you know what? Here's what Paul's saying. It's not your nature. But you've got the Spirit of God living in you, and you're not living by your nature anymore. You're living by the nature of God. And God's nature is a nature of kindness. And so if I'm not being kind, it's not because it's not available to me. It's because somewhere along the line, I got out of step with the Spirit. And it's time for me to get back in step. And what I've noticed about God's mercy, God's kindness, is this. When I'm in step with the Spirit, I'm taking the first step. I'm not taking the second step. I'm not taking the reactive step. I'm taking the proactive step. I'm getting into somebody else's life, and I'm making their life better for the kingdom of God. So this week, I'm extending a challenge to each one of us, myself included. Let's find ways to take the first step and get into the lives of other people around us. Get into the life of this world and make it better by showing them the mercy and the kindness of the Spirit of God that indwells each one of us. This morning, we're going to sing a song, and if you need to respond to the invitation by accepting God's gift of mercy and grace, and by allowing for that Spirit to live within you by accepting the gift of the Holy Spirit, then we offer you that opportunity to put Christ on in baptism, to receive forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you need prayers, we're available to respond to that. We'll have elders in the back. You can come forward, wherever it might be. But Carson's going to lead us in a song. Let's stand together.